إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue with the reading of Inhiraf al-Shabab, yani the deviation of the youth, its causes and the means to remedy it, by Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. In the last 3 days, we have read from this topic, the introduction to the topic, the importance of this topic, the danger of the deviation of the youth and how it affects the whole society, and the responsibility of the whole Muslim society, of every Muslim, to pay attention to this problem and to seek the remedy, the cure for this sickness. The Shaykh has mentioned from amongst the means of, the means of curing or remedying this problem, he mentioned a number of remedies. The first of what he mentioned is, the first cause, I should say, and for each cause he mentioned a remedy. The first cause that he mentioned is abandoning the Quran. And the greatest cause of the deviation of the youth and the Muslims in general, not just young people, even old people, is abandonment of the Quran. And the Shaykh mentioned from Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, 5 types of abandonment. The most obvious of them is that people don't read the Quran at all or listen to it. And what's not as obvious but is equally serious is that people read the Quran but they don't act upon it. They don't observe its any guidelines or boundaries of what is lawful and unlawful. Likewise, from amongst the types of abandonment of Quran is not ruling or making judgments by it and not contemplating over it, seeking the intended meaning behind its ayat, or not seeking healing to the ailments of the heart from the Quran. After this, the Shaykh mentioned the bu'd, one being distance from the sunnah, and how the one who is distanced from the sunnah inevitably must go astray. After this, the Shaykh mentioned as a means or cause of deviation, understanding the Quran and sunnah with an understanding other than the understanding of the righteous predecessors, Salaf al-Salih. And finally, the Shaykh mentioned as a fourth cause of deviation, separating from the jama'ah, the legitimate legal jama'ah of the people of sunnah and the imam of the Muslims. And today we'd like to look at the fifth cause of deviation that the Shaykh mentions, and a few other causes, as many as possible as we can in the time that we have. And the fifth cause the Shaykh mentions is contempt for the scholars. From the reasons for deviation is contempt, that not having respect for the scholars. Indeed, this is a matter which makes one weep, which makes one cry. This, O brothers, is deviation in itself. And it is the core of deviation, not having respect for the scholars. And it is also likewise a cause for other deviations as well. From deviation and its reasons or causes is that the youth belittles the scholars of the sunnah. That the youth belittles the cultivating scholars, يعني العلماء الربانيين, يعني those scholars who cling to the book and the sunnah, that the youth or even the elders belittles the cultivating scholars who have spent their entirety, the entirety of their lives teaching the Sharia knowledge from its foundations, يعني the usul, as well as the furu. Those who have spent their entire lives in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those whom the pious people, the righteous people have testified that they are obedient and upright, and that they have taken the responsibility of disseminating knowledge and fatawa, legal rulings. Yet these youth belittle these scholars and revile them. This makes him, yani the young person or the older person, yani whatever the Shaykh is saying here about the young people, his concern is the young people because they are the future of the ummah. But in reality, the same problems exist amongst the elders, the older people, not only the young people. Yet these youth belittle these scholars and revile them. This makes him, whoever does so, a prey for the devils from among mankind and jinn. And this makes him, puts him in a position to be led by these shayateen to contemptibility, yani to having disrespect from the perspective of doubts and from the perspective of desires. Yani from both angles, the person may be led astray in matters of doubts, shubuhat, confusing matters that he becomes confused about and is misled because of that, or from the perspective of following desires, the shahawat. A person who follows their desires may also be led astray by following their desires instead of following that which they know is right. The Shaykh says, "You would be saddened, O servant of Allah, when you see a youth who is negligent as it relates to obedience to Allah, and who abandons the obligations and commits the prohibited acts himself, yet he reviles the scholars. He says, 'We do not want these scholars. They have such and such with them, or they do so and so. We want those scholars who we do not hear in their speech, this is haram. We do not hear in their speech, this is wajib, obligatory. We only hear from them admonition, which does not make us responsible for anything, nor does it make anything binding upon us.'" Yani these young people, they are saying they don't want to hear from the scholars who are telling them what Allah has made haram and what Allah has made obligatory. Rather, they just want to hear sweet speech that doesn't hold them responsible for anything, nor does it make anything binding on them. As for those scholars who they refer to as the major scholars, kibar al-ulama, they said, "We have no desire for them, and we have no concern for them. They are this, and they are that." And you hear some of these people today talking about the major scholars, the well-known scholars of the people of Sunnah, and criticizing them, and belittling them, and saying evil things that are all fabricated lies. And this is due to their disrespect, or lack of respect, for real scholars. And rather, they would prefer to respect people who talk, who have sweet language, sweet kalam, that just sounds good, but doesn't produce any real benefit. The Shaykh says, "You would be greatly amazed and deeply saddened when you see a youth who has the signs of good upon him. The sunnah is apparent upon him. Good is seen within his outward actions, yet you see him holding gatherings for belittlement of the scholars and revilement of the cultivating scholars for the purpose of decreasing their status and making light of their worth. That, O brothers, is a dangerous form of deviation, and it is a reason for other dangerous deviations." What is the remedy? The remedy for that is that the youth be cultivated upon respecting the scholars, taking their legal rulings, their verdicts, giving them their rights, honoring them, defending their honor. And here, In the translation it says, and they be distant from those who give sermons and lectures to the contrary. And actually it should say, and that those who give lectures and sermons, that the speakers should stay far away from that which runs the youth away from the cultivating scholars of the Ummah. Yani, the reading should be, the remedy is that the youth be cultivated upon respecting the scholars and taking their verdicts and giving them their rights and honoring them and defending their honor. And that those who give khutbahs and speeches should be clear, should stay far away from saying anything that would turn the youth away from the scholars of this ummah. Whether they say whatever they say with a good intention or with an evil intention. Meaning that there may be somebody who's giving a khutbah or giving a speech or a lecture who might think in his mind that what he's saying is really good, his intention might be good, but if he speaks with any kalam, if he says anything that actually turns the youth or the people away from the scholars, then this is evil. It doesn't matter whether his intention is evil or good, this is something evil. Rather than say anything that turns the people away from the scholars, he should only say that which caused them to respect the scholars. Sheikh Sa'd al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, said, it is obligatory to respect the scholars of the Muslims because they are the inheritors of the prophets. They are the inheritors of the prophets. How can we not respect them? Belittlement of them is considered belittlement of their position. Belittlement of their inheritance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani what they have inherited from the Prophet, we are belittling that if we belittle the scholars. And belittlement of the knowledge which they carry. Therefore, it is obligatory to respect them due to their knowledge and status within the ummah and due to the responsibility which they shoulder for the betterment of Islam and the Muslims. If the scholars are not trusted, then who will be trusted? Yani who can be trusted if not the scholars? If trust for the scholars is lost, then who will the Muslims turn to for resolution of their problems and for clarification of the legislative rulings? The Ummah will be lost and chaos will spread. Then Sheikh, he says, referring back to the statement of Sheikh Sa'd al-Fawzan, he said, the Sheikh, may Allah grant him success, has indeed told the truth. And we see some of that which he mentioned. We see many of us have abandoned the verdicts of the firm scholars, yani the scholars who are firm upon the truth, who are strong in knowledge, and have begun running behind the opinions of people who do not have except a scanty amount of knowledge. We ask Allah to give us uprightness and to aid us in establishing what is obligatory upon us in returning our families to the goodly trees of the scholars. The goodly trees of the scholars, which have firm roots and their branches are in the sky. So this is the fifth matter that is a cause or reason or cause for deviation. That is, having contempt for the scholars. And the solution is to inculcate and to develop in the youth from childhood, and as soon as they are capable of understanding between right and wrong, respect and love for the scholars, and knowing that they have rights that must be fulfilled and observed and taken from the scholars and given preference to the scholars over everybody else who is speaking about Islam, however good their speech may sound. The sixth cause of deviation, free time and not utilizing time wisely. Free time, having a lot of free time and not utilizing time wisely. This is a topic in and of itself. But in any case, we will read what the Sheikh has mentioned here in brief and perhaps at another time come back to this topic and deal with it in detail. From those reasons for deviation, O brothers, is spare time and not utilizing time wisely, yani not getting the benefit of one's spare time. If the person does not spend his spare time in what is beneficial to him, then it will lead him to what will harm him. And this will be a reason for deviation. It will be a calamity for him. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, reported on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونَ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةِ وَالْفَرَاغِ. There are two favors which many people are negligent of. Health, or good health, and free time. Yani, there are two favors which many people have suffered a great loss in them. They have suffered, the meaning of maghboon here means the person has lost out. Multiple layers of loss. Yani, they have lost from every perspective concerning these two things. Good health and free time. The Prophet ﷺ clarified that free time is a ni'mah, a favor, a blessing, a bounty, as it relates to the person, to the human being, the worship of Allah. It is a ni'mah if he utilizes it in what will bring a benefit to himself in the dunya and in the akhirah. And if he utilizes it to benefit himself in his worldly life as well as in the hereafter. Of course, the most important benefit that one can get from their time is that which will benefit them in the hereafter. But even if the person uses it for some worldly benefit, that is benefit. As for if the youth does not take advantage of it, then it changes from a ni'mah, from a bounty and a blessing and a favor, to a niqmah, a calamity. And it changes from a minha to a mihna, from a blessing to a trial. It becomes a toy, or he becomes a toy, for the devils. As one of the predecessors said, indeed, youth and spare time and wealth are great corruptors of the person. May Allah be pleased with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, "Inni la'amqutu ar-rajul." أن أراه فارغا ليس في شيء من عمل الدنيا ولا عمل الآخرة. I hate that I should see a man being idle, neither engaging in anything from work for the dunya nor work for the hereafter. The remedy for this matter, O brothers, is that the youth should know the importance of time. The youth should take advantage. And I have to keep saying this, that this is not only applicable to the youth, but it's applicable to everyone. The youth and the others should know the importance of time. They should take advantage of the blessing of free time by utilizing it in what will benefit him in his deen and in his dunya. We must compel ourselves and direct our youth, yani ourselves and our youth, to act upon what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded with, when he said, as a command and as an advice, اغتنم خمسًا قبل خمسٍ حياتك قبل موتك وصحتك قبل سقمك وفراغك قبل شغلك وشبابك قبل حرمك وغناك قبل فقرك. Take care of five before five. Yani, take advantage. Utilize five things before five. Your life before your death. And your good health before illness. And your free time before becoming preoccupied or busied. And your youth before old age. And your enrichment or your state of affluence before your poverty. And this hadith is reported by Al-Hakim in the Mustadrak, and Shaykh Al-Albani said that it is Sahih. So brothers, the remedy for this matter is that we must know, and the youth must know as well, that time is an opportunity, a fursa. Time is an opportunity, and free time is a blessing. And what is gone by will never return. And what has gone by will never return. If we don't take advantage of the opportunity when it comes, it will be gone. If we don't utilize the free time when we have it, it will never return. So we must take advantage of this blessing, which the Prophet ﷺ has clarified, by using it in good before we lose it, or before it becomes a calamity upon us. And the seventh cause of deviation, evil and deviant companionship. Evil and deviant companionship. From the reasons for deviation, O brothers, is evil and deviant companionship. As they say, as-sahibu sahibun. As-sahibu sahibun. That the companion pulls. Any the companion, whoever has a companion, their companion will be pulling them one way or another. This has come on the authority of Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ar-rajulu 'ala dini khalilihi, falyanzur ahadukum may yukhallil aw yukhallil." Naam. So a man is upon the religion of his close companion. So let each of you look to whom he befriends. A man will be upon the deen of his close companion. So be careful, look carefully, pay attention to whom you choose as a close friend. And this hadith was reported by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Hasan. So the person, O brothers, a person will have the same habits and mannerisms as his friend. Dispositions are emulated. Yani people emulate those who they are close to. And companionship has an effect, definitely. Companionship has an effect, one upon the other. There has come on the authority of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مثل الجليس الصالي والجليس السوء كحامل المسك ونافخ الخير. That the likeness or the example of the righteous companion and the wicked companion is like the carrier of musk. Ya rahmakallah. Ya rahmakallah. Yani the one who sells sweet smelling fragrances, and the blacksmith. Yani the righteous companion is like the carrier of musk, and the evil companion is like the blacksmith. فحامل المسك إما أن يحذيك وإما أن تبتع منه وإما أن تجد منه ريحا طيبة. So the carrier of musk will either give you some, or you will purchase some from him, or at least you will find from him a pleasant smell. ونافخ الكير إما أن يحرق ثيابك وإما أن تجد ريحا خبيثة. As far as the blacksmith, the one who blows the bellows, he will either burn your clothing, or at least you will find, the least that will happen is that you will find a repugnant evil smell from him. And this hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. So that the righteous companion, you will definitely get some kind of benefit, just like the one who sells musk. Either he will give you some, or he will sell you some, or you will at least get the benefit of the good smell from being around him. As far as the evil companion, you will always get some kind of harm, whether it's greater harm or lesser harm. If it doesn't burn your clothing, at least the least that will happen is you will be suffering from the repugnant smell. Deviation, O brothers, spreads like scabies. Rather, it is much faster than that. Shaitan rides the deviant so that he can be a means for the deviation of his companions as well. How numerous are the youth who have fallen into the darkness of drugs, even in the Muslim world, even in Mecca and Medina. Naam. When I was living in Medina, they used to have signs on the main highway. Say La,
say no to drugs. لا للمخدرات in Arabic. That wasn't for the English people. That was for the Arabs of Medina, the Muslims. How many, how numerous are the youth who have fallen into the darkness of drugs due to evil companions? How numerous are the people whose lives were tarnished, polluted with wickedness, yani with filth and immorality, after once having been in a state of chastity due to a companion who pulls them to evil? How often do we see he who was once a mercy upon himself and his family become a calamity upon his family and community due to a companion who pulls him to evil? How numerous are those who fell into ideological deviation, yani in their aqidah and in their Islam, and thus became disbelievers or evildoers due to a companion who pulls them towards such? And how many of the Muslims have left Islam due to evil companionship? They're all around us. They used to be Muslims, but because they kept companionship with evil, corrupt, filthy, or kuffar people, then they ended up being pulled to that which those people were upon. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, a person will be upon the deen of his close companion. So be careful who you choose for a close companion. What is the remedy? The remedy for that, O brothers, is that the youth chooses for his companions the one who is a person of goodness, uprightness, and intelligence. One who is known for the sunnah and encouraging to the good, and known for sticking to the jama'ah of the people of sunnah, in order that he may benefit from his goodness, and that he may benefit from that person's uprightness, and that he might benefit from his companion's intelligence. It is befitting for the youth, O brothers, to weigh the people before befriending them, not after the fact. Before befriending them. By investigating their condition and their reputation carefully. What is this person known for? If they are people of good character and virtue and deen and uprightness, istiqama and good reputation, then they are the travel companions who are desirable. He should embark upon his journey with them. But if they are other than that, then it is obligatory to beware of them and to be distant from them, and to not be deceived by their sweet speech and beautiful appearance. That is but a deception and means of misguidance, which perhaps conceals great corruption. It is obligatory upon the parents to be diligent in encouraging the youth to take righteous friends, to be diligent in this matter, not to be lackadaisical and easy and lenient, rather to give great care to encouraging their youth to take righteous friends. It is also obligatory upon the parents to investigate their children's companions and to not leave the children for all those who creep and crawl from amongst the people. For if the axe falls on the head, this is an Arabic saying, for if the axe falls upon the head, the parent will be made to weep. Yani, if something happens to your children, then you will suffer, no doubt, because of your love for them. One will say, my son has begun to disrespect me. My son used to preserve the prayers in the masjid, and now he has become such that he does not pray at all. My son used to be good and a mercy. Now he has become a calamity. So it is upon the parents to pay attention to the affair from the beginning of the matter, from the start of the matter, and to be diligent in directing the youth towards righteous companionship. Yes, O brothers, the youth is in need of friends, and we cannot say that we have to lock him away in a bottle, having no friends or companions. However, it is befitting that he should choose for himself friends that will elevate him to high heights and lead him to paradise, and to beware of friends who make him laugh and smile, but evil is seen within them, and the call to misguidance and deviation is seen within them before they even take one step into your home. And the last one that we will mention for today, the eighth cause of deviation, the media and the internet. The media and the internet. The reasons for deviation are the media and the internet. And what will make you know what the media and the internet are? Yani, what will make you to understand what these things really are? Many media outlets are a great reason from the reasons of deviation in its two types. Yani, both types of deviation. Deviation that's based on shahawat, following desires, and deviation that's based on shubahat, doubtful matters. From it, O brothers, is that which seeks to display, yani, some of the media outlets. From amongst them are those which seeks to display desires and incite lust, produce unbridled passions, and destroy modesty, and criticize the people of modesty. And in no doubt, some of these media outlets show every type of filth and corruption, and make mockery and belittle the people of modesty, of haya, and the people of morality. It displays diligence upon making the standard for the youth, making their standard to be sexual deviation. And it beautifies sexual deviation. It displays diligence upon gathering the youth with the youth, gathering them within these channels upon that which contains no good. Rather, it contains evil and licentiousness, yani just unbridled, uncontrolled filth and immorality, and we seek refuge in Allah. It contains that which aims, likewise, it contains, some of them contain that which aims to display doubts, yani shubuhat, put doubts in the minds of the people, yani present ideas or concepts that cause confusion in the people's understanding of Islam, that which corrupts the hearts and cause hatred, and disrupt relations, and take the people far away from the path of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which the Salaf of the Ummah understood, and to call to personalities, naam, and they call to personalities, and to books, and to ideologies which are newly invented, and drive the youth to have poor opinion of their society, and their leaders, including the scholars and the rulers. And this is all in the name of politics, or even in the name of deen. This is that which focuses, and there is also that which focuses on the destruction of the aqidah at its origin, yani the foundation of the aqidah, by propagating magic and charlatanism and astrology, and by propagating daily horoscopes, and how you can know your future by way of the stars. And other than that, from the means of corruption. This is how the spider web, yani al-shabaka al-ankubutiyya, which is known as the internet, the world wide web. This is how the spider web is, that which is infested with the means to deviation in its two types. Yani shubahat and shahawat, doubtful matters and lower desires. It contains a great number of means to deviation by ways of desires, and it contains great dangers. It also contains a great number of means to ideological deviation. The writings of unknown people are abundant on the internet. The commentaries of unknown people are abundant in the internet. The fatawa of unknown people are abundant. The one who said it is unknown, even if he is mentioned by name. And even if a name is there, but how do we know who that person really is? Or whether or not the person whose name is there has really said that. Anybody can put anybody's name on the internet and put anything they want in their name. Unknown people. The one who said it is unknown, even if he is mentioned by name. It is unknown whether he is the one who said, or someone other than him is speaking. It is unknown whether he is from the enemies of Islam or from the people of Islam. Indeed, some of these sites present themselves as being Muslims, and in reality, these people are the enemies of Islam. Unfortunately, many of the youth have become such that they find pleasure in the web, yani the internet, and they abandon the speech of the firm established scholars. They abandon the books of the firm established scholars. And this is a terminal disease which we must cure. What is the remedy? The remedy for this matter? The remedy for this matter is that those who have true legislative jealousy, yani jealousy that's based upon the Sharia, and the people of goodness who desire for the Ummah to travel upon the path of guidance, must pay attention to this dangerous matter. They must exert efforts to produce media that builds and does not destroy, that gathers the Ummah upon the truth and does not separate the Ummah from the truth, that calls people to the Sunnah and does not chase them away from it. And the speakers on the religious programs must know that they will stand before the Lord of the worlds. Everyone must know that today they are speaking and writing, and tomorrow they will be before Allah, the All-Powerful, being questioned on a day upon which wealth and children will not benefit. Only the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart will be successful. They must know that what is obligatory upon them and what they are required to do is to display to the people the Sharia and present the people with that which will benefit them, even if it is not popular, even if it would not be a reason for the people to be drawn towards the speaker. Everyone must take a share in the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha min ba'dihi min ghayri an yanqusa min ujurihim shay'a." Yani that whoever initiates something in Islam, a sunnah hasana, yani whoever brings back and calls the people to a good sunnah after they have abandoned it, then he will have the reward of that sunnah that he has displayed and called the people to. And he will also have a reward of whoever acts upon it after him without their reward being diminished in any way. وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً فَعَلَيْهِ وِزْرُهَا وَوِزْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَنْقُصَ مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ شَيْئًا. And whoever initiates an evil sunnah and calls people to it and people follow him in it, then he will get the yani punishment. He will carry the weight of that evil practice and the weight of whoever acts upon it after him without their yani account being diminished in any way. Yani he will also get a full account for the evil that they follow him in. It is upon the speaker in any arena, especially media, to know that if he calls the people to good while he is upon good, yani if he calls the people to good, then that is good, and that he has the glad tidings of subsequent good to follow. And if he calls people to guidance, to misguidance, even if he beautifies it for them, for the people, and even if the people desire that, and even if they flock to him due to it, then let him know that he is bringing upon himself that which he cannot handle. He brings upon himself misguidance upon misguidance, and that he will come on the Day of Judgment bearing misguidance due to that which he caused from misguidance of others. Therefore, it is upon every Muslim that when he wants to speak in the media outlets, that he makes his focus the day when he will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will ask him about what he said and what he did. So if he finds for that statement or action a proof within the book of our Rabb and the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in light of the understanding of the pious predecessors, then let him proceed upon that. And if he does not find a proof for it, then let him remain silent. For by Allah, and again I say, by Allah, that one should live alone with no one knowing him and no one paying attention to him, is better for him than to live famously in opposition to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh closes by saying, and it is also upon the families to do what is obligatory upon them in this regard, in combating the means of deviation within the media and repelling that deviation with the means for istiqama, uprightness. And it is upon the families to be diligent in establishing the means for al-istiqama, uprightness, and to be diligent in establishing the means of guidance in their homes. And this is where we'll stop for today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any comment or anything. No.
طيب خير.